This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. The world has never known a day quite like today. It faced the considerable uncertainties and dangers of the worst nuclear power plant accident of the atomic age. The potential is there for the ultimate risk of a meltdown at the Three Mile Island atomic power plant outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Last week marked the 30th anniversary of that Three Mile Island accident near Middleton, Pennsylvania, the worst nuclear power plant emergency in United States history. Joining me now to talk about it is J. Samuel Walker, the historian of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and author of the book Three Mile Island, A Nuclear Crisis in Historical Perspective. It's published by University of California Press. I'm very pleased that it brings Mr. Walker to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
And before I get started, I want to clarify for our audience that although you're historian for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, you say they have no control over what you write or say?
NRC gives me a free hand to write history as I see it, to look at all the sources that I can find, and to tell the story as it was. So for that, I'm very grateful.
So let's tell the story. Early on March 28, 1979, the water pump cooling system of the Unit 2 reactor malfunctioned. Why? Weren't there all sorts of backup systems to prevent that sort of thing from happening?
Well, there were backup systems, and the backup systems failed as well. And what happened was that you had a loss of feed water to the plant, and that was the basic cause of what became a very serious accident.
So it was the feed water, the water pump system falling apart, steam valves malfunctioning as well?
Well, to make a long story short, the feed water is not the water that cools the core, but as a result of the loss of feed water, a valve opened in what's called the primary system to relieve the pressure on the reactor, and that valve stuck open. And that valve, which is called the pour valve, P-O-R-V, is what caused a loss of coolant from the core and caused the accident at Three Mile Island.
What does pour stand for?
PORV stands for pressure-operated relief valve.
Mm. So what did the lack of coolant do to the nuclear fuel in the reactor?
Well, what happened was the coolant rushed out through the open valve. There were no clear indications to the operators of the plant that the valve was open. And so for about 2 hours, coolant rushed out of the primary system from the core and spilled down into the containment building that surrounds the reactor. And the result was that the core was exposed. You had what's called a loss of coolant accident, the most serious accident you can have in a nuclear power plant.
And why did it take 2 hours for them to discover that? Don't alarm bells go off in the movies, at least?
Oh, sure. Alarm bells went off, lights were flashing, there were all kinds of alarms. The problem was the alarms did not tell the operators clearly what was going on, and their training did not prepare them for the kind of accident that the plant was undergoing. And they were doing all that they could, and they were following their training. But their training indicated that that they were dealing with a different kind of problem than, in fact, they were forced to deal with.
But hadn't there been a similar problem with a water valve at the Davis-Bessey nuclear facility in Ohio before Three Mile Island occurred?
Yes, there had been exactly the same kind of malfunction. The same valve had stuck open, and in that case, an operator realized what was happening and closed a valve, and that did not happen at Three Mile Island.
Well, after that incident, did the NRC issue a protocol telling plant operators to check cooling valves?
The NRC did not give the proper amount of attention to what happened at Davis-Bessey, and it was a lesson that was not learned very well, either by the NRC or by the industry. After the Three Mile Island accident, then the NRC issued regulations and orders that place much more emphasis on the operating history of plants.
I'm talking with J. Samuel Walker, author of Three Mile Island, A Nuclear Crisis in Historical Perspective. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. How long had the plant been operating before the accident occurred?
The plant had been operating less than 3 months.
So this is new equipment.
Correct.
Wow.
The equipment, once the emergency began, the equipment worked fine. The cooling pumps came on, the cooling, what's called the emergency core cooling system came on. according to design. The problem was that the operators didn't exactly know what was happening, and they slowed the flow of coolant.
Was this a matter of inexperience?
It was a matter, no, that they were well experienced and perfectly well qualified operators, but they had not been trained for this kind of an accident. Plus, the indicators, the control room panel did not give them any assistance in understanding exactly what was going on inside the core and exactly that they were facing a loss of coolant accident.
How severe was the core meltdown at Three Mile Island? The core didn't melt through the reactor, did it?
No, but it was very severe. About one half of the core melted, and the core is huge, and so you had a huge amount of the core that went liquid within the first couple of hours after the accident, and that's a very, very serious accident. But the core did not cause a breach in the containment building, which is a building that surrounds the reactor, and it did not result in a massive release of radiation to the environment.
Because we'd be talking about a very different kind of accident if the core had melted through the reactor.
The core had melted through the pressure vessel, which is a containment that holds the core, and then in turn caused a breach in the containment walls, then we would have been faced with a very, very serious accident, a very, very serious situation that would have compared with Chernobyl.
So was the containment wall okay? Because community activists had pushed for a thicker containment wall when the plant was being built, hadn't they?
I do not know that. The walls are 4 feet thick, reinforced steel and concrete. Unfortunately, they were not tested during the accident, in spite of the fact that the core melted. It did not get into the containment part of the building, so that and all the studies that were done after the accident seem to indicate that even if the core had dropped into containment out of the pressure vessel, that it still would not have caused a breach of the containment walls. So,
but you say that it's if it had melted through the containment wall, we would have had another Chernobyl. Was Chernobyl just built differently?
In the containment building, yes. Yeah. I mean, it would have released huge amounts of the most dangerous forms of radiation to the environment. So the consequences would have been comparable to
How were officials able to stop the meltdown from spiraling out of control? Because this is a crisis that went on for days, didn't it?
Yeah, you have to understand that no one knew that the core had melted until 1985. I mean, this was not clear. It was clear by the afternoon of the second day after the accident that a serious accident had occurred, that there had been a loss of coolant accident, but no one at that time knew what the magnitude of the accident was, and no one knew that the core had in fact melted. What they were trying to do was to make certain that there was adequate cooling to the core to try to prevent a meltdown without knowing that one had already occurred.
And it took 6 years for us to learn what really happened?
It took us 6 years to find out that, in fact, there had been a massive melting of the fuel.
Why so long? Because was it impossible to check it out before then?
Yes. It took that long to get into the reactor, to force cameras down through the openings in the pressure vessel, and to do a thorough analysis of how severe the damage had been to the core.
Now, certain gases and radioactive materials were released into the environment at Three Mile Island. Wasn't iodine-131 an extremely dangerous gas among them?
Iodine-131 is extremely dangerous in the sense that it can cause thyroid cancer. That's the main danger of iodine-131. Iodine-131 was released in very, very small quantities from the plant. To give you a comparison, the estimates of the amount of iodine-131 that was released from Three Mile Island was about 20 curies. From Chernobyl, it was on the order of millions of curies. So there's a big difference in the magnitude between those two accidents, and the amounts on an absolute scale of iodine-131 were tiny.
So people did not experience fallout from this? Because in the years following the accident, there has been debate about whether the incident caused health problems in the area. Do we see a big variance between the official studies, what they say about the long-term health care impact, and what the locals say?
Well, I'm not sure what the locals say. As far as I know, there's a pretty good support in a local area for extending the license for the other undamaged reactor that sits on Three Mile Island. In terms of what the health studies show, there is an excellent study done by researchers at the University of Pittsburgh, headed by Dr. Evelyn Talbot. And what they've done is to survey a group of about 32,000 people who were interviewed within a few weeks after the accident occurred in terms of where they were at the time of the accident, previous exposure to radiation, previous medical problems. And so since that time, Talbot and her colleagues have followed that cohort, and she has found that there is no increase in cancer or in other diseases within that cohort of 32,000 people.
Then there was a study done by Columbia University in 1990. Did that just come to the basically same conclusions?
There have been studies done based on hospital records, which are much less precise than what Talbot and her colleagues have done. And there was one study that indicated that yes, there were some health effects, but in my mind, Talbot's study is a gold standard because of the wealth of information available for these 32,000 people who lived within a five-mile radius of the plant.
Do you think that state and federal officials at the NRC were caught off guard by the accident?
They were caught off guard, yes. They weren't expecting that kind of an accident. The way that the accident occurred, the way that the meltdown occurred, caught everybody by surprise. No one had really anticipated that a series of minor malfunctions combined with operator error would lead to a very, very serious accident.
A lot of areas where around other nuclear plants were concerned about warning systems and evacuation plans. Was there any warning system in place for nearby cities like Middleton, Pennsylvania?
The warning systems were informal. There was no siren like there are at plants now. The warning systems were mostly issued by or mostly conducted by local emergency planning officials, and the basic source for information at that time in central Pennsylvania was radio and, to a lesser extent, television.
President Jimmy Carter visited the Three Mile Island control room just a few days later on April 1st.
Yes.
To convince people that the situation was under control and the area was safe?
Carter was very careful not to say that it was under control. He said that federal and state officials are doing all that they can do. He asked the residents of central Pennsylvania to be stay alert and to be aware that there might be a need for further action. He didn't use the word evacuation, but at that point, no one had dismissed the possibility that a mandatory evacuation might be necessary. It turned out not to be. And so Carter was very careful about what he said, but he did go there with the idea of reassuring the population that the situation was under control.
Well, this accident occurred at a time in the late 1970s when people were rethinking energy and energy use because of the Arab oil embargo, but there was also an animated debate over the advisability of nuclear power in general during the 1970s. Do you think that the accident helped tip the balance of public opinion in favor of anti-nuclear power activists?
Yeah, there's no question that it did. The day before the accident, on March 27, 1979, there was a great deal of ambivalence among the population of the U.S. about nuclear power. And what the accident at Three Mile Island did was to change that ambivalence for a lot of people into opposition. So you have to keep in mind that the industry was in a slump even before Three Mile Island, but the accident made the slump much deeper and much more difficult to climb out of.
And then there was this movie called The China Syndrome, which came out around the same time.
right? China Syndrome opened 12 days before the accident occurred, and it was a major source of information for people. In fact, in the Harrisburg area, by coincidence, the movie was showing in two theaters in the Harrisburg area when the accident occurred, and they added midnight shows Friday night and Saturday night by, according to their ads, popular demand. So that was one way that people were gaining information about nuclear power.
A listener called in to suggest that a meltdown at Three Mile Island would have actually been worse than Chernobyl because it would have been an air blast. Is that true?
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Chernobyl was as bad as one can get because you have to keep in mind that Chernobyl had no containment building at all. So you have to keep in mind, too, that there was a meltdown at Three Mile Island. I mean, the idea that if you have a meltdown, you were inevitably going to have a massive release of radiation was refuted by Three Mile Island because we did have a huge meltdown, and the plant held. So I think you have to bear those facts in mind.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us today. J. Samuel Walker.
Thank you for having me.
A historian of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and author of Three Mile Island, A Nuclear Crisis in Historical Perspective, which is published by the University of California Press.